Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Rate, review, subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Rate, review. You don't rate on YouTube. You like on YouTube and you subscribe on YouTube. So please do that. My guest, Iman Adin, you know her. She did this piece the other day on why the Raptors are sleeping giants poised to become future champions and they're doing it their own way. So do check that out. It's going to be relevant for, oh, I don't know, a year, 2 years, whatever. Hey, Iman, how are you?
Yeah. Good. How are you?
Doing well, doing swell. That game last night was so much fun. So much fun. It's so nice to have the Raptors back. My goodness. It felt like all off season, we were just making content after content after content of the exact same things, projecting like, hey, maybe this guy does that. Hey, maybe this guy does this. Maybe the Raptors have a better half court offense. Who knows? Didn't look great yesterday. But in the end, they're back and it was so nice. And that game was awesome. That should be a playoff series. Adam Silver, make it happen.
I wouldn't be mad at it. No. I would not be mad at it. I think the Cavs should be worried a little bit, though, sure. If that were a playoff series. We'll get Darius into Garland. It, though. That's Garland. What I was going to say. Darius yeah. Garland should be worried if that is a playoff series. They had him not in the good place, in the bad place, in for a good chunk of the night. And fortunately, yeah. He got hurt. Yeah, yeah. But that's also, like, that's kind of what the Cavs are offering to give up when they have such a small backcourt. But yeah.
Yeah. Fun times. Like different styles. I was watching the Redeem Team documentary the other day. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting watching the contrasting styles because Spain had like Marc Gasol and Pau Gasol, right? Like just big, big centers. And they were just punishing the U.S. Down low. But then on the U.S. side, you got these dynamic guards, Kobe, all these. So like they're going back and forth, just like capitalizing on their own advantages. And that's kind of what the Raptors were doing yesterday. And also the Cavs too, because Donovan Mitchell was ridiculous. And I mean, we'll get to that in a second, but actually, yeah. Fourth quarter, let's start there. Lots of fun things to take away from that. What was your first takeaway from the fourth quarter that was?
Should we start with the good or the bad? There was a lot of good.
Yeah, there was. Let's start with the bad.
Okay, so the bad, and this has kind of been a theme that we've seen a little bit. You know, the Raptors want Scotty Barnes to run the offense some. If you're looking at Fred VanVleet's, you know, minutes total, it's probably because Scotty was in foul trouble and he's kind of your secondary point guard. So they want him to sort of take over that role. And I thought from Scotty and Precious towards the end of the game, and yes, Scotty had that turnover with 19 seconds to go, but also the Raptors were up by two possessions. And what we saw was bad time management. And I think we saw a little bit of that in the preseason from Scotty Barnes as well. You know, he had that where he didn't go for the 2-4-1, you know, in that sort of preseason. And that was a moment. But also when you're up by two possessions and you have 20 seconds left in the game, and yes, there's like 11, I think it was like 11 second shot clock differential with the game clock there.
Yeah.
Why are you rushing the shot there, Scotty? Yeah, he ended up turning it over and it went the other way, but there's no need to rush the shot. And I think we saw the same thing. Scotty had a beautiful pass to Precious in transition. That was like a great thing from Scotty Barnes and exactly what you want to see. And then again, Precious, you're up by a single, like there's that you just dribble out the game clock. You're already up by a single point. Even if you do want to get the dunk, even if you do want to cap it off in such a special way, don't leave 0.7 seconds left on the shot clock so that they can get a chance to put up a three, because in 7 seconds, as Raptor fans know, that is enough time to catch the ball and release a shot. We've seen it be done before. Luckily the Cavs didn't have a timeout and couldn't advance the ball, but that was kind of the bad time management in a really, really impressive fourth quarter from honestly both of those guys who maybe struggled at other points in the game. So like, I don't want to harp too much on it because I think that they showed a lot of good things, but that was kind of your young guys not really knowing how to manage the clock so much.
That was a really nice play, though.
It was beautiful. Game off on the precious. Don't give up 0.7 seconds, though.
You remember when a couple years ago, Pascal Siakam, I think it was against the 76ers, and he had this possession. It was late game, and he stole the ball, and he dunked it, and he did this, like, the Christ the Redeemer pose. I think it was against the 76ers. Yeah. It was kind of like that. It could have been that special, but obviously.
It could have. I mean, and also, don't touch the ball after that, Precious. Because yes. What could have happened in that situation is if the Raptors had a delay of game warning at the beginning of the game, that could have been a technical foul for the against the Raptors. Uh-huh. And they would have been able to advance the ball, I believe, in that situation. Yeah. And there you go. Now up three, you're giving up a free point and you're letting them get an easy two to tie it up or three to win the game. Just a little ahead of himself, a little bit more poise from Precious towards the end of the game would have been nice, but it was a beautiful play nonetheless.
Absolutely. Let's start going with the good. That was bad, but they did win the game. You can pivot to the good now.
Honestly, the Raptors just their offense and their defense in that final quarter. I mean, what did they limit them to? Like 17 points, I think, is what they limited the Cavs to in the fourth quarter. Just suffocating them in that way and getting out in transition, getting their buckets. Also, just Pascal Siakam, his ability, and want to talk about this a little bit more when we get into the rest of the game, because I think it was especially notable in the first half. But the Raptors just defense being able to limit the Cavs to 17 points alone, I think that's something that's incredibly special. And what you want to see is them being able to lock guys down when it matters, and score when it matters as well.
Yeah. It was 21. I'm just looking at it now, but still
21. Okay.
Yeah, but still a very impressive quarter. And I mean, the thing that stuck out to me, and Nick Nurse talked about this after the game. Yeah, they did. Donovan Mitchell was carving them up. He was doing major damage, paint touches galore. He was getting downhill. He was passing the ball, finding three-point shooters. He was awesome. He was exceptional. Like Nick Nurse after the game was like, I don't know how he split screens like that. It was so cool. Like he does it so fast. I mean, like that's what he did in Utah. It was the same damn thing. And
you think that the Raptors are closing those gaps. You think that their length has everything shut and he finds a way.
Yeah. And they made a switch towards the end of the third quarter. They put OG on him instead of Fred. Fred was struggling a little bit against him. I don't think that's a bad thing. Most people do struggle against Donovan Mitchell in one-on-one isolation. Like he's very fast, very good, very quick. But they tried OG that still wasn't doing it. And so they tried a few other things. And I think what really helped, they started moving their low man, whoever it was. It could have been OG. It could have been Scotty. It could have been Gary sometimes. And they moved him right underneath the basket. And they were forcing Donovan with that high pick and roll that if you want to hit that corner three-point shooter, we will trust that someone we'll be able to recover, and then we're in scramble defense, but that's what we do. And that really did help clog the paint. And that was a difference maker. Then also, Jared Allen wasn't able to get those lobs. And as long as the paint is clogged and the Raptors are staying composed, and that's what they were doing, their defense shines. And that was a big difference in them being able to get their defense ahead of the offense of the Cavaliers.
Which is how the Raptors get out there and score, just to watch the stops that they like the steals that they were being able, like we were kind of talking about like what is our stat of this game, and I was going through it and I was like, is it the steals? And like you look at it, you're like, what is it, like 15 I think they got. It's not an insane amount when you're talking about what this Raptors team can do, but it was a lot, and they did get out in transition, and you got to see what the Raptors really look like at their peak. This Raptors team is fun. This Cavs team is fun. They're kind of the two gimmicky teams. I thought it was unfortunate, obviously, that Darius Garland got hurt. Obviously, hope he's fine. Hope he can come back pretty quickly. Seemed like, the kind of thing that happens to OG every year. Just getting poked in the eye. But
four times, yeah.
But like, to me, it's just like watching that team, that Cavaliers team, and I would love to know what your takeaway on this was. Donovan Mitchell in that first half when Darius Garland was there was kind of off ball some, and they let Darius Garland kind of run the show. And then you saw what it looked like when the ball was in Donovan Mitchell's hands and he was kind of riding it. And you also saw how like, here's the thing. They're both undersized guards, but Donovan Mitchell has a wingspan of a Toronto Raptor, right? He's an incredibly long player.
It's like 7 feet or something like that.
Yeah, he's an incredibly long player, and you see the sort of difference in that. So, yes, he's undersized, but, like, technically, because size has a lot to do with length as much as it does, as much as it has to do with height, and we see that that's exactly what the Raptors are sort of banking on.
Yeah.
That's the philosophy there. So, it's, like, it's really fascinating to see what this team is going to look like, because I think two undersized guards, the Raptors are going to punish a team like that. And we saw that in the first half. And also what we saw was the Raptors absolutely punished, whether it was Caris LeVert, whether it was Chetty Osman on the defensive end. Chetty Osman had a good game, but, like, Pascal was picking on him and the Raptors were picking on their threes. And I'm like, if you've got two undersized guards there and you have a three that's a poor defender, Isaac Okoro had a terrible game. I just really wonder what this Cavaliers team looks like. I kind of like this as a matchup for the Raptors, despite the fact that you're sort of lacking those bigs. On the Raptors end, it's just like, it's going to be a fascinating year for both of these teams.
I wonder if they're going to be in the Jameson Crowder or Jay Crowder sweepstakes, because they could really use someone like him.
They
on
gotta
the team.
Be. They...
Yeah. Yeah. I said Jameson Crowder. That's a football player. Jeez.
You corrected it to Jay Crowder. I caught it. Yeah. I was like, is that his full name? I don't know.
Jameson Crowder the third. Yeah. It's going to be a problem for them. And I think the logic was that, oh, well, we have Evan Mobley and Jared Allen in the back end. Yeah, but those other two guys, Garland and Mitchell, are going to be switching on to someone. And I guess a team like the Raptors, who have like 6'8", 6'9", across the board, there will be someone that they can post up and they can take advantage of, you know, Garland and Mitchell. There's always going to be someone. So that's going to be something they're going to have to navigate. I'm not sure how they're going to do it. You, as Masai said in his end of season last year, it's like you have a philosophy and you just hope it works. And that's their philosophy. Good luck to you. Another philosophy that Fred VanVleet has is that his heart is 7 feet tall, right? Because he had this play in the fourth quarter where he just took that ball from Jared Allen. It was beautiful.
Oh, my, that was so beautiful. Can you, like, what? I honestly, I think I like let out a yell at that moment, because it was just like, how was he able to just, because how both of these teams are really going to feast is on the offensive glass. Yeah. And so to watch a 6 foot guy take it from a 7 footer and then the Raptors get out in transition. Oh, double bounce pass play is absolutely beautiful. You know, Fred to OG to Scotty right at the rim for the finish was beautiful. Also, can we just like OG and Scotty's chemistry was absolutely beautiful. I was going through a lot of, like, Scotty had 7 assists in this game. Like, I don't want to, I knocked him a little bit to start, but he was good in certain moments. You saw like Scotty be aggressive, which was absolutely beautiful. But also I want to focus in on the assists a little bit.
Sure.
A lot of those were to OG Anunoby. Like, their chemistry is absolutely beautiful. He had one that was a cross court pass to OG. He had one that was along the baseline that was just a beautiful pass to OG in the corner for a three. He got Precious a three. He got Pascal a three. He was really moving the ball, and he was also aggressive when he needed to be, taking it to the rim, even taking it to Jared Allen, which I think is just, you know, why he was your rookie of the year. That aggression that he showed, I thought was just like really phenomenal at certain points from Scotty Barnes. You're never going to get like the perfect game, but I thought he showed moments where he was aggressive and he was moving the ball in a way that I really like. And their chemistry already, beautiful.
Yeah, that's why he's his favorite teammate, right? Like he said. Yeah. Scotty, no question. He was passive at points last season, right? And I think it's fair to say that he had more offensive game in him. Like, his points per game, I think, was 15. He probably could have had 18 on a different team, different situation, yada, yada, yada. But today or yesterday, it looked like he was making sure that he got his offense as well. And there were several points where, you know, they weren't able to, you know, get offensive going. And he's like, looked at the rim. He's like, well, I got a path here and let me just go and let me just do this. And it didn't matter who it was, OG and Anunoby, both of them, they attacked Jared Allen down the stretch of the game because they realized that, okay, maybe off ball, he's very lethal, but let's see if you can like handle a bump to your chest and handle it. Right. And that he couldn't do it. It was great to see that OG was that comfortable doing that in that kind of situation. And also Scotty like delivered this like laser pass towards a corner. OG eventually he did get blocked by Jared Allen, but the pass itself was like a cross body right to the corner. It's like, holy, that had some zip on it. Nothing bad to say, Billy, about Scotty Barnes, other than, you know, the thing you said earlier. I like seeing him being aggressive. He hit a three. He's looking for his pull-up shot. I'm not sure like how they're all going to balance this out the offense wise, but like this was probably like the best example of how it could be, you know, going forward. I think Pascal had like 20 shots. Then the other guys kind of just like filled in the gaps where they needed to, but those were going to be like your five players who will take the bulk of the shots. And after that, Precious will have his day. Chris Boucher may have his day on just like, you know, attacking on closeouts and advantages, but for the most part, it's going to be these five. And this was a good representation of what we're going to see going forward. How about that Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam inverted pick and roll, back to back possessions down the stretch. My stat that I took away from this game was the Raptors scored on six of the final seven possessions in the fourth quarter, and two of those were on that play. We saw it many times. It started with Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam, and now it's Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, still very effective.
I was just about to say, I was like, oh, is this like, you know, 2019, 2020? Like, we're getting that Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam inverted pick and roll, which if you remember in that season, that was the year that like Chris Paul was on the Thunder and they had the best fourth quarter offense. They had the best clutch offense in the league, the second best clutch offense in the league, the Toronto Raptors. Why? Specifically that play. How absolutely lethal it was. It was a bucket every single time. And then just watch Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam take over the reins when after Kyle was, I was just like, this feels like 2020. Like we're back in time. And it was effective back then. It's effective now. It's one of my favorite things that the Raptors run. And I wish they would do more of it.
I think we'll see it. Two players like that. Fred's a terrific screener for a person his size. He really makes sure that he gets like that solid contact. The base is good. The first time they ran it, he goes through the screen and actually Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell ran into each other. And then Jimmy Osmond was like in the middle, like, where do I go? And for some reason, Donovan Mitchell decided not to really hustle on the play, even though it was like a minute and a half left. And so eventually ball goes to the corner for Gary Trent. He hits a three. And then the next time they're in the same play. Pascal goes downhill and Caris LeVert, and that's barbecue chicken. So I think it's very effective.
I think when you're sort of talking about how this Raptors team can work, because yes, it's sort of gimmicky in its own right. And when you have a bunch of your 6'9" guys that have to, you know, play 2 through 5, well, you're also talking about Fred VanVleet and how he kind of operates in this team. Mm. And when you're an undersized guy, because everyone wants a big wing right now, when you're a guy who's under 6 feet tall or 6 feet tall, you have to, one, be able to shoot the ball. And number two, you have to play bigger than you are. And that's what those screens kind of do. Fred VanVleet's ability, not just on the defensive end, to switch up on guys that are bigger than him, but to set screens and kind of play as throwing his body out there. It's something that Stephen Curry does really well as well. You have to be able to, one, maximize the fact that you can pop out and can hit that shot. But two, you got to play bigger than you are. That's how these guards who are 6 feet tall really make their imprint in this league. And it's what Fred VanVleet does so well and why he's so lethal and why you can play him on this switch everything team, not just on the defensive end, what he can do, which we know, but also offensively with the shot and with the screening and playing bigger than his body.
I think some people might take away this from this game that, okay, so Fred's a liability on the defensive end, like Donovan Mitchell is going by him and yada, yada, yada. But team defender, that kind of aspect, he's probably the best at it. Maybe OG's a little bit better, but they're neck and neck, so you need that. Like he's your quarterback on both ends in some ways. Like he covers up a lot of mistakes. It's a bit more obvious when maybe like a Christian Coloco does it, because it's like a big huge block, but when Fred does it, it's subtle.
His beauty.
Yeah, right, it's subtle. It's a Jared Allen play. It's like the really solid closeout. It's hedging properly, tagging properly, nullifying like a possible pass. Like that's what he does, but you don't see it. It doesn't
reflect
on the
passing lanes a ton. You'll see those steals. He's in the passing lanes a ton. And like, if at this point you're watching this game and you think to yourself that Fred VanVleet is a liability on the defensive end, I implore you to watch all of last season and every other year in Fred VanVleet's career.
No, man, if they're still saying that, then they don't get it. Casuals. And then also, man, you need shooting. Okay. You need shooting. Ooh. And it doesn't matter who it is. Like you need people who can just put the ball in the hoop in a variety of different ways. And damn, man, Fred's very good at it. You need his three-point shooting. We can say like, oh, maybe Precious could be there. Maybe Scottie can be a good three-point shooter. Maybe they don't need a Fred in the starting lineup or whatever. Maybe they trade him. You need like that kind of aspect of shooting. Like,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pascal's not going to be the shooter that Fred is. Scottie Barnes, probably not either. They can be both be very good, but Fred is like top tier, like top five when it comes to catch and shoot. Why wouldn't you want that on a team like this? Especially from a player who can, you know, punch above his weight and so many different aspects. Stop trying
Fred
to trade
Fred. Fred VanVleet is entirely important to what this team does. There is not another point guard that you can slot into the Fred VanVleet role that can do, for one, playoff ball as well as he does. You mentioned it with the catch and shoot threes. This is a guy who averaged, 9.9 threes a game last year and shot it at least in the first half of the year at 40%. Second half of the year, he was injured. But I think on the season, it was 37 or 38%. To be able to do that, number one, to be able to, on the defensive end, be able to sort of guard up and hold his own. We talked about the team defense. And, he's the epitome of, what this Raptors team needs as a point guard, because you don't want someone who's entirely too ball dominant. You don't want someone to run everything sort of through them, because we want Pascal Siakam to have the ball in his hands. We want, Scottie Barnes to have a ball in his hands. How many times did we just watch something? It's like, oh, Thad's bringing the ball up this possession. Oh, Precious is out in transition and can do this. Oh, Scottie can do this. That's what this Raptors team needs. And there's no other guard in this league that I think is as versatile as Fred VanVleet to be able to sort of sit back and do that. After this Raptors game, I turned on Grizzlies Knicks and just watching Tyus Jones and Jalen Brunson, I'm like, they come from the school of Fred VanVleet. Like the fact that Fred is now a veteran where you can watch other guards and you can be like, this is a school of Fred VanVleet. That's the level of point guard the Raptors have. And I think that's something that, people need to be more appreciative of.
I hope the Raptors find more ways to weaponize his three-point shooting. There was a few cases last night where Fred would take a few shuffles left, a few shuffles right, and then all of a sudden there's an open passing lane. And that's just like him being a heady player, reading angles. And once that happens, now the other team's like, oh, wait, Fred's open. Then they close out. Then he's getting the ball moving. Defense is moving. Rotations happen. The Raptors get a good shot. That kind of stuff happens. That's something that they haven't really utilized too much. And I think that's probably in the process. Certainly a lot of things to work on with their half-court offense. It shouldn't still be Pascal Siakam. And whatever happens after that, we'll just see. But anyways, Fred's very good. He was very good last night. It's nice to see him healthy, shooting the ball really well. Another person who was very, very good, Pascal Siakam. Pascal Siakam. Go ahead.
Top five. He's gunning five? For it. He's gunning for it.
He had a 35% usage yesterday.
Oh, boy.
It was heavy.
It was I think a lot of the criticisms of Pascal's game, at least in the past, and what people sort of wanted from him is they want to treat Pascal as if he's a wing in this league. He is a wing in this league, but they want him to have the sort of face-up game. People want him to show the footwork and to show the face-up game. And he had some moments tonight. That pivot spin that he had where he hit the turnaround fadeaway over Caris LeVert. Oh my goodness, the space that he was able to create, the balance that takes. It was an absolute beauty. I think I've watched it 45 million times at this point. But he was so good in moments and just carrying the Raptors offense when they absolutely needed it to. He was aggressive. He got to the line 8 times, which is, what you want from Pascal Siakam. If he wants to put himself into that top five, he needs that pull-up three, which we talked about a ton, but he also needs to get to the line. He needs to be able to get himself, more offense, especially when it's stagnant for the Raptors. You look at the game that DeMar DeRozan had for the Bulls yesterday, what DeMar was able to do to put himself into that sort of lead guy is, one, get to the line and get there a ton and be incredibly – DeMar's footwork is something that, Kevin Durant talks about studying, and you're just watching Pascal Siakam's. I mean, someone needs to put that in a textbook and get people to study that, because it was absolutely phenomenal. A pivot spin? Are you kidding me?
I know. Those Rico Hines highlights over the summer. Did that a couple times, and people are just like, oh, look at this. It looks so pretty, right? It just looks so so elegant, so agile, and people talk about Pascal not having the prettiest game. That looked pretty damn pretty to me, man.
No, that was Pascal Tampa. We're past that. We are exactly. past that.
He should hit some free throws, though. He shot 4 of 8 yesterday. Wait. He mentioned it afterwards that he's like, I got to hit some free throws. Like, yeah, no kidding. If you want to, true. But if he wants to be a 25 points per game score, like, it's right there for him.
Yeah.
2 more free throws, 6 of 8. These kind of things very much matter. Yeah, there was another play that stuck out to me. And I don't know if you caught this. Third quarter, Evan Mobley's on him. And he hit Evan with this crossover that gave me flashbacks to when, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, when Pascal dropped Anthony Davis a couple of years ago with like that burst of speed and then the crossover. Like his speed with his crossover seems like it's a little bit better, a little bit of a tighter handle. Even with that final play towards the end of the game, Caris LeVert, he hit it with a crossover again. And that was on the inverted pick and roll that he ran with Fred. And that led to a bucket too. But it seems like he's just got that poise with the ball now. And he's very comfortable with the ball in his hands. And the handle is there. He's not always picking up his dribble as much, right? He's willing to like dribble through the contact, dribble through the traffic, and then find his way and get a bucket. I mean, it was a great game. Like, he shot 9 of 20. That's okay. A couple of those were just like him being so aggressive on the offensive glass. Like, that's 2 possessions, a couple tips. There you go. You're 0-2. Yeah. So that kind of stuff happens, but he's going to have a terrific season, man. This is going to be the best Pascal Siakam season we've seen yet. No question.
I was thoroughly impressed.
Yeah. Great stuff. And he hit a 3-2. Love that too.
Yeah. Funny. This one's Scotty.
He did as well, right? That was a nice shot. I wanted to mention Christian Coloco, but do you have anything else you want to chat about?
I think we gave OG his roses for last night's game. I mentioned it. The change of shoes was also, I think, what I focus in on. But no, he that just made him hit his shots. He was still incredibly active, both in the first half and the second half. I just think that, like, in terms of connectivity on this team, that's exactly what you need. Is a guy like OG Anunoby who, yes, on the defensive end can we saw that was a masterclass from OG Anunoby last night.
Yeah.
But beyond that, on the offensive end, whether it's, you know, sitting in the corners and being able to hit the threes, we talked about how the Raptors need that. But I don't know how else to describe OG Anunoby, because there's a lot of talk about maybe replacing him and using him. And it's just like, he's the connectivity that kind of like binds this team together. And I thought last night's game, he gets to 18 points, just kind of sleepwalking there, which is what I imagine. You know, Yasmin and I talked about it on the weekend. That's kind of like right of the range that we expect OG to be. That's where he was last year. And we expect him to sort of sleepwalk to those numbers. And that's exactly what he did last night. I think what this Raptors team kind of shows you is, yes, Pascal had insane usage. And yes, Pascal is your number one guy, and he's going to have high usage every night. But this is a team that attacks off of mismatches. This is a team that's entire offense is built on that. Their defense is as well, but their offense is built on that. And that's going to require Scotty to be aggressive when he has it. It's going to require OG. It's going to require Gary and Pascal. And we saw that last night. I mean, like, this team was attacking from all ends. Everyone kind of had their special moment, even though this was Pascal Siakam's show at the very end. And I just thought, like, yeah, we're watching the Raptors. Like, Raptors basketball is back. Preseason is done. And this team looks like they're ready to play. And it was a lot of fun to watch. It might have been clunky at times. It might have been ugly. And we're going to get that. Their offense was not humming by any means. But you saw moments okay, this is how it's going to work. And granted, they did go up against a team, like I said, Chetty Osman, Isaac Okoro, Caris LeVert. There were guys that they could pick on in addition to Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland when he's in the game. The Cavs are kind of a unique team in that way. But this Raptors team is fun.
And if it's not those guys on the Cavs and on another team, it's going to be other guys that they can expose. This is part of, you know, the vision of like having so many guys who can dribble the ball, work in the pick and roll, hit threes and so forth. There will always be one or two people that are we can always find one. And it's a reliable piece of offense. Is it, sustainable? Maybe not. They should probably add some more wrinkles to their half court, but it's still an effective method. And I don't think
in the regular season, certainly.
Sure.
No team has 4-6-9 guys that they're playing at any given time. So like you are going to find your mismatch. And exactly. What OG Anunoby does so well is like, yes, we talk about his perimeter game, we talk about his shooting, but he is also a absolute bully down low. He is arguably the Raptors' best post player. I think Scottie Barnes can definitely take that reign from him. And so it's like you're going to either have a mismatch down low or he's going to be open in the on the perimeter. Like I was looking at OG's highlights over last season, and it surprised me how many of them are catch and shoot opportunities. And it's like, yes, he is what makes Vision 6-9 works. He's what makes Vision 6-9 work because of his offense and the way that he's able to either get that mismatch down low and bully whoever's down there, or if he's wide open, on the perimeter, he's hitting that shot. It's just the connectivity, and we saw it yesterday in different ways. It's fun. Raptors basketball, baby.
And that play against Jared Allen towards the end of the fourth quarter, like I felt that there were multiple occasions where he was being a little bit passive on offense. But that was the possession. Like he got the rebound and he just kept on trying to go at Jared Allen. Ball swings around a little bit. It gets back to him. And again, he goes at Jared Allen. That was like him being forceful with his offense. That might've been, Nick Nurse in a timeout saying, go at him. Like, don't let him be off ball. Go at him, go at his chest, hit him right here. Right. Make him feel it. And that's what OG did. And throughout Jared that Allen third quarter, good. Oh man, he's huge.
My goodness. The rim protection for days. I would be scared to go at him too. I feel you, OG.
Donovan Mitchell went from Rudy Gobert to Jared Allen. One of them has better hands, the guy with, he's with now, Jared Allen. But that's a pretty nice.
Got a lot of guys to clean up his messes.
Yeah, no doubt. But with OG, like that third quarter towards the end of it, we started to see him in his own way take over the game. With his read and react on the defensive end, also the offensive end too. He was just doing it on both ends. And it wasn't always as obvious maybe as some other star players, not saying that OG is a star, but with him, when he does it, it's subtle. It's like the reacting to good tags, good hedging, getting to the nail, taking away some driving lanes. And then on offense, it's like cutting, it's passing. He found Precious Achiuwa, I think late in the third quarter for like a nice layup. Like that's what OG does. He can just do so many things. Someone mentioned to me the other day that they thought he could be what Wiggins was for the Warriors, kind of like just kind of filling in gaps. I'm like, that's interesting. OG has a bit more potential on the defensive end to be able to be more versatile, but for what the Raptors need, just someone who's able to do so many different things on the offensive end. I thought it was an interesting comparison.
It's a connectivity. I mean, I thought that they played sort of similar roles for their teams last year, right? Yeah. As a tertiary guy and being able to punish guys because, Andrew Wiggins, former number one overall pick for a reason. Yeah. And can do more and obviously put in a role where he's now the tertiary guy, watch him damage teams. OG has shown that he can be in that role because of the way that he's able to diversify his offense. We talked about it post-up game, perimeter shot. But I just think that like I'm higher on OG. I don't know.
Sure. You have reason to. Yeah. Wiggins took a pay cut to stay in Golden State. I can't believe it. Do you, man? Do you? Christian Koloko. Okay. So some people may have been a little bit surprised that he entered the game so early. I was not, because I think if you're reading between the lines of what we've seen from him, what Nick Nurse has said, he really likes him. And this isn't him saying, we want to develop our rookie. No, Christian Koloko impacts the game when he's on the floor. He is very good at what he does. And I've been saying this all offseason. Don't just think that he's going to be spending his entire season in the G League. There's no reason to do that when he can help this Raptors team right now on the defensive end, because they are already so good. They just needed him. They just need someone like him, a 7-footer with wingspan, agile, long, protects the rim, knows his role, and he can do it. And he comes in. He had a great game. Yes. Okay. He missed like 4 dunks, probably in a few months. Those are going to go. And he also had 5 screen assist points. So he was very good, I think.
He's already like 3 steps ahead of Bismack Biyombo when he first got here in terms of like at least catching the ball before missing that dunk. And he had one off of the missed shot from Pascal Siakam that I think we're all just claiming is an assist, the prettiest pass you'll ever see. I just thought like we saw it. He can't play in a drop, right? Like he's still too, like he's not at that size right now. We saw that, but he was so good. And also, like, he was obviously going to play tonight. Boucher and Ken Burch are not there. And I think that, like, this gives him some run when the Raptors are missing some key guys. And I expect to see, we saw Kem Birch in the preseason. He looked really good. He has fresh legs. I think people are kind of down on him from last season, but I'm high on Kem Birch. We saw how important he was to the Raptors in the Tampa season. And so, yeah, Boucher and Kem Birch coming back, I think will limit the minutes for Christian Koloko, but I'm really excited to watch him play with this team. I thought he looked good. I thought he was aggressive. I thought he was active on the boards, even if those, you know, put back dunks did not always go in. He's already a step ahead of Bismack.
Yeah. OG said a few days ago, he's like, he covers up a lot of mistakes with his size and with his strength and agility, strength in his own way. And just the length really does take over. And there are so many occasions when he wasn't in the game where I'm like, if Koloko was there, that probably wouldn't be a basket, just because if it's him versus like Precious or Chris Boucher, not that he played, whoever, it's a different feeling for a player. And when they see him, they're just like, this dude is huge. I'm not going to go in the lane. I'm going to kick it up for three.
he had this one where he set a screen and he was rolling to the basket and he hit, I forget who it was. It might've been Pascal in the corner with the short roll pass. And you remember it? And it looked ugly, but he hit his mark. And why? Because his size allows him to sort of cover up for those mistakes. Like, I was just like, ooh, that pass. Oh, actually, never mind. And it's just like having that size just allows for extra sort of leeway. And we saw that a bunch with the Raptors yesterday, where I felt like, you know, guys were losing their dribble a little bit and they were able to retain possessions. Why? Because they can just kind of go out and get that loose ball. Sure. Like they can corral their you know, their bad dribble with a second just because their wingspan is so much longer. And I watched that, like, Christian on that short roll, and it was like, oh, that pass. He hit his mark, and he was able to do that because his size just allows him to sort of see over everyone. Even if it's not the prettiest pass in motion, it's going to hit more often than not, because, you know, it's the Nikola Jokic effect. Although Nikola Jokic is, I'm not going to compare the passers, but like, you know, part of why you want to have, you know, a Nikola Jokic skill set in Nikola Jokic's body is because he can see over everybody, right?
Exactly.
And we see the benefits of that already with Christian Koloko.
And he knew where the ball had to go. That was good too, right? He made that reaction that has to happen has to be a lot faster. Whether it goes good or not could be, you know, wingspan and stuff like that. But he knew where the ball had to go to that corner. Did it look pretty? No, but he did it.
Effective.
Exactly, right? Doesn't always have to, come on, the Raptors, man. Doesn't always have to look pretty, just has to be effective. Okay. Anything else, Simon, on this game? There's like another 81, so we don't have to spend too much time on this one.
No. It was exciting to watch the Raptors come back. I think a lot of the things that we talked about are things that sort of existed in the past. One thing that, you know, I'll note is five guys, all five starters, and you talked about it, that's sort of where their offense comes from. All five guys had at least 15 points. And that's how the Raptors are going to pick apart other teams. You know, we talked about it. It is mismatch hunting. And so everyone's going to have an advantage at one point or another. And it's up to those guys to just punish them. So I think all five starters having 15 points. And there was a stat that, let me pull it up here, that I thought was incredibly impressive. OG Anunoby, Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, Gary Trent Jr., and Fred VanVleet had 15 plus points together, starters, for the sixth time. So it's the sixth time that all five starters had at least 15 plus points. And we know that they didn't always play all together. There's always one or two guys out of the lineup last year. Only seven other starting fives have done that in NBA history. And the most recent were the Phoenix Suns. So... And if we're talking about, that's 2004, 2005 with the Steve Nash, with the Amar'e Stoudemire, with the Sean Marion's, an incredibly impressive team, a team that I believe, you know, at one point should have won a championship. So it's just what the Raptors are able to do is incredibly impressive. And I'm excited for the rest of the season. And that was courtesy of Greg Harvey. Shout out who sent me that stat.
Damn Robert Horry. He's the reason why they didn't get that championship, that Phoenix Suns team.
On our test 2010, buddy, I love that for him. I'm always happy that he was able to win a championship there.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, Iman, this was very fun. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the listen, and obviously more podcasts to come, more Raptors content to come. So enjoy your evening, enjoy your day, enjoy the Brooklyn Nets game, and Iman will be talking to you on Monday. All right. Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.